Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll be with tonight's guests, Nassim Haramein and Jonathan Quinton.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, world champion accordionist, Corey Pesatoro. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
We are pretty much gonna just get to it. What we've got going here for you all tonight is quite amazing, actually. We were Life Changes, both Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Lejeune, our producer, and I were invited to Encinitas, where Nassim Haramein has his new laboratory that he just moved here from Kauai. And it isn't even finished yet. And nobody's been invited out there yet. We're the very first people to be invited to come and do an interview with him and to videotape there. So we hope to have the videotape up soon. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to play that interview that we played inside this I don't know, laboratory box or something. It's going to sound a little funny, but it was certainly a lot of fun with Nassim Haramein and Jonathan Quinton. It was fun, wasn't it?
It was a great time. It was a Faraday room, I think they call it.
A Faraday room, right? Nassim is one of the world leading physicists and the founder of the Resonance Project Foundation. And Jonathan Quinton is a cosmologist and multimedia artist focused on the golden mean and sacred geometry.
Right.
What a trip. I mean, it's a trip. I mean, it's...
Pun intended.
It was. Yeah,
it was quite a trip. And it was really exciting to have another conversation with him after, you know, he'd spent some time since the last time we had spoken, you know, furthering his research, you know, coming to new understandings. Pretty exciting.
You know, I have to say, I've heard a lot of interviews with him because I really dig him. And I have never heard him do what he's done on our show now twice. And that is, he's like, I just discovered this thing, and he's sharing it. I haven't even written about it, he says.
He became friends on our show.
He has an accent. I love his accent. He's a great guy. Anyway, so, and he's sharing something that he hasn't shared with anybody else yet. Obviously, he's shared his laboratory with us, and he hasn't shared that with anybody else yet.
Yeah, well, and
feels
and
quite special.
We mentioned in our conversation, but you know, he broke some pretty important news, and definitely expounded on and expanded on that this time around.
This time around, really
exciting stuff.
You'll all get to hear that now, and a little later on, you'll get to talk about a trip. Corey Pesatoro's here. It's always great to have him here. He's in Los Angeles and stopped by the studio to do something like he's. Well, I don't know if he's ever done it before, but we've never had it done on the show before. This is all new for us here on the Life Changes Show for 2016. We've certainly started the year off right. When we come back, we're going to be in that laboratory in Encinitas. You'll hear us with Jonathan Quinton and Nassim Haramein, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're here live at Nassim Haramein's new laboratory in Encinitas, California, with Nassim Haramein and Jonathan Quinton.
And Mark Legere and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, have the pleasure of being here. Actually, I'm not sure where we are. This is, did you say a Faraday?
In a containment room.
In a container room.
Yeah, that's where I put my kids when they SBA. Yeah.
Perfect. You know we're on camera. Right? Oops. You see, this is the interesting thing. This morning as I was getting ready for this interview and thinking of what we can do as far as conversation, I was thinking how you are so cool that, you know, here's this brilliant man we're going to be talking to, and yet, what do we see? We see surfboards and four-wheeling.
Extra cool.
Exactly. And it's like, I could talk to you about all that stuff, and yet you know all this. So, we probably should talk about the science.
Oh, okay.
this time we're on. All right. I'm sure you're cool, too. You're from Australia.
No, so. I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
New Zealand.
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Okay, isn't that the same thing? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Well, you're
God. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a whole other
show.
Your
website
as well.
Is AU, right?
Oh, that stands for the element gold.
Oh.
AU.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. All right. See? You learn something
every day.
Okay, well, we are in this room, and it's getting hot in here already. And we are going to experience actually the two of you together in just a few weeks here in Encinitas. The two of you are going to be doing an event where you're each going to be speaking about your fields. Of course, yours physics and the latest discoveries that you come up with, and Jonathan, yours is going to be sacred geometry.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about what each of that is. What I'd like to start off with is you. So this morning, Nassim, as I was thinking, I remember taking physics at UCSD just down the road from here. And I remember the professor coming in and saying, I just discovered something. And of course, most of us would moan because it's like, no, just tell us what everybody else is learning. That's hard enough. Yeah, we don't want to know. And right. What you're thinking is a theory. Uh-huh. And yet with you now, it's like, what is new that you've come up with? It's like, now I want to know.
Yeah.
And what I think I know is that you have something called holographic mass solution.
Yes.
I don't understand, but I want to know.
Well, it's actually, it's kind of one of the biggest puzzles in physics is, you know, we have equations like beautiful equations like E equals MC squared, mm-hmm. where we get a nice obvious equivalence between energy and mass and the speed of light. And except that in these descriptions, the fundamentals of these specific elements that are in the equations are unknown, meaning we don't actually know exactly what is mass, how it comes about. And as a result, since it's equivalent to energy, we don't quite know what energy is neither. Mm-hmm. We know they're equivalent, mm-hmm. and we know the speed of light is involved somehow. Mm-hmm. But actually, we haven't fleshed out how that whole thing works and where it comes from. So some of the stuff I've discovered in my latest, mathematical experiments is that space-time at the very fine level, that means space between you and me, mm-hmm. space between atoms, space inside the atom and all this, is not, first of all, empty. Mm-hmm. It's full of energy. Mm-hmm. And that energy comes in little quantas, as quantum theory would have predicted. And these little quantas, when you actually look at their behavior, their collective behavior, so imagine the space being filled full of this energy that's in little quantas, little balls, if you like, and imagine that you look at this region over here where all the little balls are just kind of moving in a random kind of way, but over here their collective behavior is more like a spinning vortex kind of structure. And if you calculate that, all of a sudden, you find that like where these little spinning vortices is occurring, you get the right mass of object. Meaning, like if you calculate their energy level, all of a sudden, like you can calculate the amount of that energy inside a black hole, and you get the right answer for the mass of the black hole. And then if you do that again for like a proton, the nuclei of an atom, which is completely opposite side of, you know, the scale, you get the right answer for the proton, for the nuclei of an atom, which is really significant. So that you can start to describe matter and mass and energy actually as a result of this fundamental field that's permeating everything, that's everywhere in space, full of this energy. And when it organizes in very specific geometric solution, it gives the mass of object that we experience every day.
Does that, is it mass as pertaining, or does it relate in a way to, like, we know energy, or I think a layman's term of energy is movement, and though it's moving within structure, is it more akin to potential energy?
Yeah, so this potential energy and this kinetic energy, and, you know, and the potential, what I'm discovering is that there's a field of energy that's permeating everywhere that we call space, that we think of it as empty space, but that's full of energy, and it's in a state of potential, and then in certain region where it's kinetically interacting, that's where we see the matter. We think of it as separate from the space, but actually it's a function of the space itself.
Now, for most people watching and listening, we're talking about something that we can't see, except without tools.
Right.
And then you talk about even the space inside a black hole, which we can't see either, and we think there's nothing to be seen in there. Mm-hmm. So all of this is unseen, so at least to the general public. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, I think, so what is this saying?
It's really esoteric, right?
Well,
I understand. But think about it this way. Like, you only see like 1%.
Wow.
Directly of the electromagnetic field, right? Like this room right here we're in, actually if we're on the other side of this door, it wouldn't be the case because this is an isolation room, but is filled with electromagnetic frequency. Like there's radio waves, there's microwaves, there's, you know, your cell phone, all this stuff, like it's happening in the space here. You're not directly experiencing it, right? But if we take a radio set and we tune a little crystal in there just right, all of a sudden music comes out.
Right.
Now you know it's happening, it's really there, right? It's the same thing, is that we're this electromagnetic waves that are like way, way, way smaller, like billions and billions of times smaller than an atom, that are actually present in the space. And of course we don't experience them directly, but now we know they're there. We can measure them in the laboratory, and these equations that I wrote proves that that's actually the source of matter. It's the source of our reality. And in fact, in some of the work I'm working on, it's maybe, in fact, the source of consciousness. It's actually the information that eventually, you know, builds up material systems to eventually express itself into a human being.
Wow.
So it has profound meaning.
So saying this doesn't pertain to me is potentially like, because we can't see it, like a blind person saying, well, I can't see anybody, so there's nobody here.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter if I cross the street at any time.
Right.
But it does, right? So it's about, you know, and you know, many masters, many ancient civilizations describe that field of energy. It's actually nothing new, you know. In many ancient tradition, many spiritual tradition, people had a direct experience of an interaction with that energy. They called it chi or mana, or, you know, they had many different names for it, but you find it in many different cultures around the world. So and techniques of meditations may actually be techniques to actually access that field of information. So it's not actually completely unavailable to your own experience. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know it's there,
right.
there's no way you're gonna know to go and look for it or experience
right.
it.
Yeah, kind of like, we won't describe it, but the experience that I was having in the other room that you had me go into, where I started to say, I'm feeling high.
Right.
And you said it was the energy in the room. And then I came into this one and I said, I'm feeling depressed. And it was because of a lot of different things.
Right.
One of the things was because of the shape of the room and the exact measurements, which leads directly to what I think you talk about, right? Because of the spaces, the shapes rather, and the designs, sacred geometry.
Yeah.
How does this all relate?
Well, it's related in that it's something you don't see. My approach is to universal order, this omnipresent, intrinsic, all-pervading universal order. It's there, but you don't see it. But you can find it. You can find it in the circle, because the circle is the master symbol. It's like it represents undifferentiated potential. And then how do we get to it? You know, we've got the circle. How do we get to this order? Through geometry. We geometrize the circle. We organize the circle through geometric principles. And the ones that I'm primarily concerned with are pi, which is the relationship, of course, between the circle's circumference and its diameter, and phi, the golden ratio. And I play with the golden ratio. I explore the golden ratio through the pentangular, decangular system of circular division, dividing the circle by fivefold, tenfold divisions, which gives pentacles and decagons and pentagrams and isosceles triangles and rhomboids and all of these shapes, which are the tools that can allow us to experience this intrinsic, all-pervading, beautiful order. This provides tangible evidence of this universal order. There's no denying that there is this inherent order, and it's mathematically provable because it is mathematical principles. And the places it can take you is infinite, because a circle can be divided in an infinite number of ways in perfect concordance. If we are doing it through the pentangular system of circular division, then, you know, we can have any kind of shape. There's actually an alphabet of shapes derived from the pentagon, and use any of these as a window to infinity, because each of these simple shapes, whether it's an isosceles golden proportion triangle, a rhomboid, a pentagon, a pentagram, a decagon, a decagram, these shapes are containers that can be filled with infinite number of star formations, all aligned perfectly, all interconnected to each other perfectly. And size is of no relevance, because the size can range from the infinitely small to the infinitely large. The scale can change, but the ratios and the proportions and the mathematical laws are constant. And so every single point in space, and whether it's, you know, a micron or a proton, whatever it is, has infinite potential for this universal order to be expressed through it. But it's invisible. You know, in order to see it, it requires, first of all, a mathematician to organize it. And then, most importantly, an observer. Because if it's not been observed, if it's not been contemplated and considered, then it's, you know, it's pixelation on a screen or chalk on a board or whatever modality is used. It's the consciousness that makes a difference, that, you know, recognizes what it represents and provides a bridge for us to engage our individual consciousness with this universal creative intelligence, because it is its natural phenomenon. This is as natural as everything in the world that you can see.
You see it in nature everywhere.
Right, you see it. In your case, we can see it, and your work as well, your artwork.
Yeah. So it's connected. What we were talking about is that there's this field of information at the base of creation, and it uses very specific ratio and geometric function to produce everything we see in our world, mm-hmm. including our body and our experience. So actually discovering these principles, and Jonathan gets to actually show you, like literally, so you can see the geometry and how it relates to nature, like allows you to like get such a deeper experience of your relationship to the universe, to nature, and to yourself.
So the energy that we were talking about then organizes itself in these structures, in these containers.
Yeah, so you...
Self-organizing forces, and mm-hmm. that's what we use, for self-organizing forces that can be expressed and contained and through geometric shapes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to take a break, but when we come back, I'd like to know, how do we self-organize ourselves to align with that, or are we already aligned with it and don't know it, and if we don't know it, why does it seem like our life is not going necessarily the way we want it to go? All when we come back here with Nassim Hermain and Jonathan Quinton on the Life Changes show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and we're talking with, we're listening, actually, to Nassim Hermain and Jonathan Quinton, and we're learning. I'm not sure exactly what we're learning, and that's why I'm hoping, for the sake of everybody else, that we understand. So there's a logic here, there's a structure here, and yet we look at our lives, and it just seems random and haphazard.
Right. I know it's crazy like that, because... And you know, and that's the tendency we have. I mean, all of our physics currently are based on the concept that the universe is random. There's no organization. It's just, you know, things happen by chance. Mm-hmm. But there's a problem with that.
Well, that's what I'm asking you too also, because you address this. Other physicists might say, "What does your life have to do with my physics studies?"
Right.
I mean, I've actually heard stuff like that before. So yeah, that's why I'm asking you all. So go on, sorry.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that biology, the development of biology, or even monocellular system, are so complex that if you make calculation on the random function, how long it would take for something that complex to emerge, even just like the base pairs of like DNA and so on, it's so much complex than what could occur in 13.7 billion years since the Big Bang, if the Big Bang was true, you know, which is another story. But it just doesn't add up. It takes billions and trillions of thousands of years more for such complexity to emerge. So that makes, that gives a tendency to people, that's why physicists avoid this subject, is that people think, oh, well, then it's got to be God or some, you know, supernatural thing that's organizing creation, you know, some guy with a long beard on the throne, you know, like directing everybody. But actually there's another option, and that is that there is feedback in the information of space, that the system is learning about itself. Mm. It's not dead. It's alive. Everything is alive. Like that life doesn't just start when a heart starts beating, but that life is actually the functions of the universe, the energy that creates all things, and that's present in this field of information. And the result is that when things feed back onto themselves, they start to structure in very, like a fractal geometry, it starts to produce very specific geometric behaviors. And these geometric behaviors emerge in nature everywhere, and that's what Jonathan is actually mapping out. And they emerge in, and of course they're present in physics as well. And they've been largely ignored. And so that's what's re-emerging. And what's interesting is that many ancient civilizations seem to know about that. They talked about this fundamental geometry at the base of everything.
They drew it out.
They drew it out in their symbols. They talked about it. They had it, you know, in their sacred geometry and all this stuff. And they talked about it being the foundation of creation. But now what's exciting is we're starting to be able to apply it to, you know, to advance scientific physics and, you know, chemistry and energy and all this stuff. So it's actually becoming more real and more clear how it all happens.
The sciences are starting to validate each other now.
That's right.
Play well together.
Exactly. Yeah.
Would it be safe to say that the enigmatic drawings, the sacred geometry, people understand what blueprints are when you're building a home? Would it be safe to say that the enigmatic drawings of the sacred geometry is like a blueprint of those natural structures, a blueprints of nature in a way?
Yeah, well, a lot of the ancient monuments, the pyramids, the temples, you know, they were blueprints. They were models of this universal order and of harmonic modules that generated these resonant fields, so that those who entered into them would receive the benefit and the alignment and attunement of these resonant fields. And that's what it's all about. The harmonic shapes that I was speaking about earlier can be used as keys to attune our individual consciousness to the harmony of universal order, because the problem is, as society, we become divorced from nature. We insulate ourselves from the natural, subtle cycles and forces of nature. And the big turning point was around the Industrial Revolution, when the mechanical clock was invented and we started measuring time in a linear fashion, where time is more organic. And then the Gregorian calendar was introduced, which took us away from the natural cycles. The Gregorian calendar was organized for events and, you know, just in close proximity to the celestial cycles. And so with the clock and the calendar, is taking us out of step with nature. And geometry, sacred geometry, the shapes and patterns and forms of these geometries are ways it can help bring us back into nature. Most of us don't have the privilege to be able to live amidst nature, which is the best way to engage with it. But what geometry does is for the majority of those that are not able to get out of nature, it brings the principles of nature into your field of consciousness, and you can benefit in that way.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of bringing the fields of nature into our consciousness, your artwork is a fine example of that. As a matter of fact, I was introduced to it by our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, who said, wow, look at this work that this man is doing. And I looked at it and looked at it, and I'm like, beautiful, amazing. And she says, no, you have to look at it and just and take it in. So describe to us what she was saying by what are we taking in when we're looking at your work?
Yeah, and that's the difference between looking and taking it in, because it's huge difference, day and night difference. Just to look at it, you're looking at pixelation. and color pigments, and you know, nothing much more than that. It's the consciousness, it's the recognition of it, the engaging, consciously engaging with it, because these geometries, these mathematical principles, geometric principles that exist independent of chaos, independent of space and time, and even, as they say, independent of creation itself, they don't need anything at all to exist as these principles, these archetypal principles. But in order to exist as more than these principles, they do need something. They need an observer. And it's the alchemy, the synergy between the observer and the geometries that something happens. And it's like a catalyst that can spark something, this primal memory, this primal recognition, pattern recognition, and open up. See, we're so limited by straight lines and 90 degree angles. The geometries literally help you think outside the square into much more resonant, you know, shapes and patterns, mm-hmm. and a much wider spectrum of frequencies. Mm-hmm. And it's like food, there's nourishment, it's like nutrients for the soul.
Yeah, you were saying about how, like, we're saying that there's all this order, mm-hmm. and you say, well, you know, our life seems to be spiraling out of order. I'd like people to consider that, like, while, you know, they're running around, like, getting the laundry done, getting the kids ready, going, you know, bring them to school, running to work, you know, cell phones, all this stuff, and their life, you know, their chaotic life is happening, mm-hmm. there's 100 trillion cells that makes up your body that are completely in harmony, resonance, like, holding on, you know, to everything, like making sure everything is happening, millions of divisions per second, billions of chemical change every second to make sure that everything's staying in balance and everything's working. And every one of those cells, 100 trillion cells that makes your body, are made out of 100 trillion atoms. Wow. That are, you know, that are making up everyone who's going. You consider the incredible amount of organization and coherency that must happen for you to even just, like, be here breathing, seeing this and all this stuff. It's incredible. So the coherency and the organization is omnipresent, but we typically tend to miss it because we're so busy with the rest of the stuff we're doing.
Okay. That's great, but it actually makes it worse for me in the sense that all that amazingness is happening just so we could party on the weekend. All that effort into that.
Yeah.
So how do we then extrapolate into what's going on in the consciousness of the world?
Well, you know, if you're having fun at the party. I think that, like, you know, I see what you're going to. At the end of the day, no matter what you're doing, What this is showing, for instance, when I made these calculations for the mass of the proton, there was something startling that happened, is that when I calculated the amount of energy or the amount of information inside the volume of a proton, which is super small, it's 10 to the minus 39 centimeters cubed, it's like the teeniest thing, right? And I calculated the information in there. It turned out that it was the same amount of energy or information as the mass of the universe. That is,
wow.
All the other protons in the universe, in terms of holographic information, was contained in one proton, right? And so when, so you can start to think about this feedback, that it's not just a local feedback with this field of information, that actually, when you're out there partying, mm-hmm. you're actually feeding information to the whole universe. You're feeding, you're actually like a probe of the universe extending itself and learning about itself through your experience, through your eyes. So all of a sudden, you're not separated, you're not isolated
wow.
from the rest of the universe. You're actually connected
wow.
to the whole thing. And you're learning with the rest of the universe.
Wow.
And so that kind of gives you a completely different optic on your life.
Yeah.
Well, and further to that, it's probably no coincidence that many of the big events and many of the big parties are now using sacred geometry in their structures,
right,
and the lighting and the backgrounds, etc. So, yeah.
Well, and actually to your work as well, as I'm listening to you and I'm remembering some of the images that I've seen, which we'll give the website in just a moment here so people can see them and buy them and experience them, take them in. I'm thinking of the spiral, right, the golden mean, and I'm thinking, okay, so we know this study is assuming it really happened of the 100th monkey, and then once the 100th monkey learned how to wash the potato or whatever, then everybody else did it too. Well, maybe it doesn't work like that. Maybe it works, I'm thinking just right now, and help me here, but maybe it's this many, and then this many, and then this many, maybe it's the golden mean. And then all of a sudden we're seeing more and more people getting it, and we're actually doing what your work is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an interesting concept, and I think you're right, you know, rather than 100 monkeys per se, and I think that was just like, you know, as an
arbitrary.
Arbitrary. Golden proportional progression, because that's what nature does, and it opens up, it taps into the resonance to the order, to the cycles and rhythms of nature. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd say definitely.
Wow, I'm getting chills. Is it the room or am I connected?
No, that's the thing. It's the craziest. It's the thing that we're starting to learn from the deepest levels of physics. I mean, not just the physics I'm writing, physics that has been written by some of the best physicists on the planet today, for instance, starting to find evidence that actually the fact that particles are entangled, so we discovered in quantum theory that particles seem to be entangled, so that in certain states, particle that emanated, or like two photons that came out of the same atom, right, can be at opposite side of the universe, and if you flip one on to a certain angle or polarize one, the other one will polarize it exactly at the same angle instantaneously. We know that. We've measured it in laboratories. So this connectivity has been actually known and found for over 100 years, but it was never explained. And now we're starting to realize, well, this field of energy I'm talking about is what's connecting everything, and it's riddled with these micro wormholes that are connecting all the particles together, so that it's actually a huge network talking to itself, and we're right smack in the middle of it, meaning we're like experiencing, our experience is the result of this information going through the network, and we're feeding information back into the network. So you know, we might intend something, and it will come back to us, but it'll come back to us modified by all the rest of the stuff, all the rest of the experience. So it might not come back exactly the way we wanted it. We might have intended a red Camaro and we got a purple one, or you know, and but what it's driving, the reason, the amazing thing is that you start to see like how evolution occurs, because as information enters the field, it gets modified by the rest of the universe and comes back to you modified, and that, you know, that forces you to evolve and to continue to learn. And that's the amazing thing.
I want to add just a good analogy for some of our listeners that you know, can't go as deep as some of this conversation. It's such big numbers. Mm-hmm. But art, we were talking about taking it in, Dorothy says, take it in, right? Mm-hmm. And experiencing the sacred geometry. And then going back to what you were saying in terms of this connectivity. So the difference is, what we have been brought up in the past to believe is that you're viewing something that's separate. We're looking at art, and then we walk and look at another piece of art. Mm-hmm. What we're actually doing is interacting with that energy.
That's right.
That experience.
That's right. And actually, the art is inside of you, and you're recognizing it, you know, and because the information is present everywhere. And so, it's a complete interaction.
And it came from our collective consciousness, not to take anything away from you, Jonathan.
No, I totally
on the contrary.
See it. Yeah, just tapping into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. We could do this for hours. But everybody could get an experience of the two of you. This on the 23rd of January of 2016 in Encinitas at the Seaside Center for Spiritual Living. Can we give the number there? Okay, so it's 760-753-5786. It'll be from 7 to 11 p.m., 3 hours of both Nassim and Jonathan sharing this kind of information. And actually, you're going to have images you're going to share, right?
That will be the big difference. It's always challenging to describe my work verbally because it's so graphic.
Right. Are you going to have graphics?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, yes, he's got a challenge with that too, but there'll be that.
Yeah, there'll be graphics and it's layman, so, I'm going to keep it simple. And, I think that, it's a great opportunity to present with Jonathan, because Jonathan's presentation are really experiential.
Mm.
So people get to experience what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about the physics and the geometry and all this, then they get to, have it as an experience in their own body.
Mm. Energetic experience.
Yeah.
Well, they could also experience some of it by going to both your websites. And so, Nassim, yours is resonance.is.
Yeah, resonance is.
Resonance is. Ah, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought maybe IS was for island because you were.
Yes.
Anyway, your last laboratory was in Kauai.
Kauai,
right?
That's
okay.
Correct.
And, trying to be clever. And yours is sacredgeometry.com.au, and
yeah.
AU is for gold.
That's right.
Right, okay.
Nothing to do in Australia.
What would I have to do with
New Zealand?
And I was kidding. I know New Zealand, Australia are separate. And when we come back,
it's
actually...
It's only 1,200 miles. Yeah.
When we come back, would love to talk about what is actually happening in here in this new laboratory that actually, Mark, we're the very first to get to visit. It's not even finished yet, and we're quite honored.
Truly.
This has been very special. So when we come back, kind of want to know what's happening here, what's going to come out of here other than this interview. And we'll do all that here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back with Nassim Haramein and Jonathan Quinton, and we're talking about, of course, sacred geometry. You're known for that, and physics that is so deep, and yet you make it relatable. And talking to you two, it feels like there's this chasm that's being bridged that's been between science and everybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientists were over here, and you're very approachable, and you're very much a human being. I don't know what I mean by that, but that you're like a person.
Right.
Okay, whatever.
No, I get what you mean.
So much so, last time we were here,
speaking of bridging chasms, when we had our last conversation, which has probably been a couple of years now, met with you at your vacation home, and you informally broke some new information that you had just arrived at prior to us getting together.
While he was surfing.
While you were doing something.
I was just on the water. And
His hair was
still wet.
Right. I get a lot of my inspiration from being in nature. But I was excited. I just solved that mass equation. And it was so mind-blowing because it came out just right. And I didn't expect it to come out just... I was hoping it would be in the ballpark.
Well, you were still processing your own discovery.
I was kind of blown away.
Yeah.
Since then a lot has happened. That is, that prediction I was able to make of the radius of the proton with that equation got confirmed by an experiment in Switzerland that measured the radius of the proton more precisely than ever before. And it came out 4% too small for the standard model prediction, but exact for my prediction. And so it's been very exciting.
Wow,
since then.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is... This is a really big place, and I imagine there's going to be a lot going on here. What can you tell us?
Well, it's the continuation of a collaborative effort between a whole bunch of scientists from all around the world. Mm. Our scientists from the Residence Project Foundation and so on, that, but as well from a for-profit enterprise of bringing information in, bringing technology into the world based on the information that was developed. And so there is, kind of a restructuring of all our institutions that is occurring, and that, that helps us to move forward at a better pace and in a better circumstances to get the job done. So it's really exciting. Some of the technology, some of the interpretation of the equations I wrote have very deep technological implications. Implications that could make huge difference for people's lives, for our capacity to overcome some of the largest, challenges in our society, dealing with the natural world, what we're doing to it, and how to interact with it in a way that we can become more harmonious. Mm. So energy production, gravitational control, all these things are the type of things that we will be working on in these laboratories, applying the higher theoretical physics to application directly.
Wow, and that sounds like a whole other conversation.
That's just on my head at some point.
That's exciting as things develop. And you've got some latest developments you're going to be sharing as well, Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm going to be sharing a brand new series of golden ratio geometry I developed when I was back in New Zealand this past winter. And looking very forward to launching that at our talk together.
Oh, so we're going to have to wait till the 23rd of January 2016. At the Seaside Center for Spiritual Living.
Yes.
Very exciting. I'm going to give the websites out again in just a moment where people can get more information. But is there anything that we haven't talked about that either to you two want to share before we have to say goodbye for this time around?
I'm just glad to be back in America because I love the consciousness here and the openness and the way people receive new information. So I'm really happy to be here with my buddy Nissim, and I love, co-presenting with him. It's such a lovely complementation, left and right brain approach, physics and quantum physics and metaphysics, sacred geometry, lots of dovetailing and blending.
Love that collaboration.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, I think it's exciting to be able to connect with the public on the mainland again. And so I look forward to the presentation. I always enjoy, connecting with people and talking about that stuff. And people, I'm so amazed how deep the thinking is going on for so many people on the planet right now. People are really actually considering stuff and reconsidering what they were taught and, everything that they've been thinking may be correct, may be a little different, and so on. And so it's really an awesome way for people to be able to connect with me and for me to be able to connect with them and answer questions and all this stuff. And we're going to do question and answers at the end.
Yeah.
So that will be really fun. So I look forward to it.
It's an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very exciting. It's good to have you both on the mainland, or you on the mainland and you in America. Yeah. This is exciting, and welcome back to America.
Thank you.
Oh, not that you weren't in America. You were in Kauai, though.
Right. Well, you know, Hawaii is its own little thing.
Right. Right. So is New Zealand, evidently.
Right.
So the websites are resonance.is. For those who don't know how to spell resonance, I probably should. resonance.is. Did I get it right?
That's right.
All right. And Sacred Geometry, geometry.com.au. Nassim Hermain and Jonathan Quinton, this has been an absolute pleasure for us. Thank you so much for being back on the show with us.
Thank you for having us.
We'll see you next time.
Awesome.
All right.
We're back in the studio, and I can still feel the energy of being in that room and with Nassim and Jonathan, and I hope you all felt it too. Great stuff. And speaking of great stuff, we've got Corey Pezzaturo live in the studio here at Studio NoHo. When we come back, we're going to cut to him and his accordion, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back, and Corey Pezzaturo is here. He is a world digital acoustic and jazz accordion champion, and there's only one of those in the world, and it's Corey Pezzaturo. Nobody else has won all three of those, right, Corey?
Not that I know.
Right? I mean, that's
accordion world small. We would know.
that's pretty cool. So. So good for you. And now you were on the show a few months back.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of fun with Matthias.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, all the way from Deutschland.
All the way from Germany, right. That was his first day in
the U.S. First day in the
that's
U.S.
That's amazing.
I know. See, he comes here, he goes right in
Matthias,
and,
yeah.
Matthias.
And so you... you have done some fun things since we last saw you. And mm-hmm. actually... a lot of people don't know this about you, but you're as passionate as you are about the accordion, you're actually, and you're amazing at it, you're actually more passionate,
about yes.
cars.
Yes, cars, racing, anything to do with auto history, Formula One history, MotoGP, all that stuff,
and,
yes.
And speaking of Formula One, you were not just at Formula One.
No.
You were... in the pit.
In the pit. If I go to an F1 race, I'm only going because I know I can get in the pits, yeah.
Now, do you bring your accordion?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Well, I mean,
are
that's my way into the car
kidding.
World.
No, are you serious?
Yes, no, of course.
You bring your accordion?
Yeah.
Would you play for them in the pit?
Well, no, I mean, behind the pits, each team has kind of their own region, like the studio, almost just bigger, where the drivers hang out and stretch and
oh, like
relax.
Little tables,
and that's where dignitaries and famous people come
Formula
in.
One, you know, each one has its own accordion player.
No, the Red Bull's the only one with an accordion player, so Red Bull's got that one going.
Well, you should have a. They should pay you to put a sticker on your accordion.
I have been talking about doing another accordion with the Red Bull across it.
Oh, seriously?
Thinking about that? Yeah.
Wow.
They do crazy stuff. So,
okay.
And actually, the guy that owns Red Bull and started Red Bull, his wife is an accordion player.
Oh, really?
Because he's Austrian.
Wow.
She has wings.
She has wings.
What is this, a commercial? Maybe they should. Anyway, but we're not going to, you know, see you racing here today.
No, we're
here to hear you do something. Now, you do. Yeah, can you do that on the show? You do some crazy things on the accordion.
Yeah.
And earlier you were playing around and we're like, that's good. Yeah, that's cool. And we decided Mark's like, you should do all those on the show. Mm. What exactly are all those and what are you going to
do? Yeah, so we're going to do some of the wildest things you can do.
Because you're
on
a
the
wild
accordion.
And crazy guy.
Wild and crazy guy. Yes.
Wild blah, and blah, crazy blah. Accordion player.
Of course.
You're not French.
No. Italian, of course.
You're Italian.
Paisan. Come stai? Okay. So, all right, let's start with a Hammond B3 kind of.
Wait,
blues
so you're
going to
do. Wait, we'll you're do just going to do some sounds?
I'm going to do some stuff. Yeah.
We invite you all the way here from New York, and you're just going to.
Rhode Island.
New York.
Boston or Rhode Island, not New York. Come on.
You don't typically hear on the
all on one show. I insulted the guy from New Zealand, saying I thought you were from Australia.
You can't do that. That's bad.
And you from Rhode Island, I say you're on New York.
No.
All on one show.
You are an equal opportunity.
I'm on a roll. Okay, so you come all the way from Rhode Island, and you're gonna do what exactly?
Well, we're gonna start with a quick blues thing.
You're gonna do some blues.
Like there's an organ in your studio right now, but there isn't as an accordion.
And Corey Pezzatoro holding that accordion.
At the helm, yeah. No.
On the Life Changes show. Here he is doing
this will be life changing.
Whatever he does so well.
Maybe.
That was blues?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I thought you were going to go like from blues to like right after the other.
No.
No. What do you mean?
We can do that.
Oh, okay. Well,
I got to switch sounds.
Oh, so you need a moment. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we heard the blues. Yeah. The blues organ. Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing about that is like, are you actually bellowing?
Oh, the organ does not work at all on this unless you are pulling the bells. It's all bellows.
That's amazing. So this is not just a sound, folks. This is like he's actually creating it here because I could actually hear like the, you know, the air coming through, and then like the organ sound. There was like the bass. You're like rumbling.
Right. Yeah, that's like the feet.
Yeah,
the feet
like
part,
it rumbled.
Right. Yeah, it rumbled.
are you
rumble
ready to
in
rumble?
The accordion instead of
here
the jungle.
Here in Studio Noho, we are rumbling. Actually, we're going from rumbling blues organ. We're gonna hear what now? So like classical symphony.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll pretend to be a Baroque quartet or something.
Very cool.
And then you want to make up techno thing. Okay.
That's fun.
Sure.
So, what, mega techno is this?
Make up. This is all being made up.
He's improvising. That's a better word. He's improvising on the show here, and basically we're hearing things that you wouldn't expect to come out of an organ.
Out of an accordion.
What did I say?
I think you just said organ.
I don't know. Accordion organ.
From Rhode Island.
from Rhode Island.
An Australian
I'm an Australian accordionist that's from New York playing the organ.
Out of a squeeze box. Okay, so.
You're not, you know, all right.
Techno. Techno?
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Some French techno.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out of breath. I was dancing. That's very cool. That's very cool. You know, I just noticed something. I've seen this accordion many times, but I've never noticed. Cepes.
Yeah.
That is very cool. Is that new or just never noticed?
No, it's always been on there.
Okay, so people, you know that on the left side of the accordion, there are those little buttons.
Little buttons, yeah.
Which are not randomly pushed. Like, they actually have, they know which ones to push.
Yeah, we hope. Well, I hope to hit the right ones.
And in that, in a design kind of way, is written Cepes. Explain to us what Cepes, I know Corey Pez.
I mean, people call me that once in a while when I was younger because, you know, shortened version of Corey Pesaturo.
Yeah.
It's and, like, you know, four letters is like my rap name, you know.
Your
course.
Rap name.
Yeah. And I love Z, so, you know, Pez.
Pez.
My goal is to be famous enough that in Orange, Connecticut, they actually, you know, where they, the Pez dispensary, they make a Pez of my head. That's like a life goal.
Oh, yeah?
If the Pez comes out with C-Pez, that would be awesome.
And it dispenses little accordion-shaped...
that would be really awesome. But they have to make special candy, I don't know.
Okay, so we are now going to hear something that is a favorite of people all around.
When they hear, yeah.
It's doo-wop on the accordion?
Yeah, I like Manhattan Transfer.
Okay.
You know, something okay. Something of the sort, yes.
Okay, Cepes.
Dewey up.
That is really fun. Dorothy's giving you a standing ovation on the other side of the window. Right. That is very cool, I must admit. You know, I think we just cut your demo reel right now.
Right now, there it is.
That's awesome.
There
I mean,
it
do
is.
People know what you could do? Actually, you actually have already played on a lot of movies, and you are going to be doing more of that, I feel.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I'm in L.A. more and more, is to... get in those circles.
Oh, that's why I thought you were here to see me. And...
Well, that goes with it. Yes, of course.
Do you take requests?
I always take requests if I know them.
No,
as the saying goes.
I don't need a song, but you're doing all this, you know, doo-ba-doo-ba-doo. And can you do like you know, a merry-go-round sound, like you know, the music you
carousel?
Hear in Ferris
with the doo-wop?
No, not with the
doo-wop.
Yeah, carousel. Yeah, like can you just do like you were doing with the other stuffs?
Actually, you know, a song came to mind as soon as you said carousel. I don't know if anybody remembers Mario Water Level. That seems carousel.
That's carousel-y.
Yeah, that too. I
mean. That's a circus.
Yeah, that's a circus. So
you,
I don't know.
You are a three-ring circus. You and the accordion.
Yeah.
All right. So and now you were also going to do something that you do because you teach master classes.
Yeah, yeah.
So those who don't know, it's somebody of like yourself who's a virtuoso on an instrument or
some
vocally,
say.
And and they help young students or people that are wanting to advance mm-hmm. their musical abilities.
Right.
And so you teach classes like that on the accordion. So one of the things you do that's fun is mm-hmm. take a song that everybody knows and then play in different styles, right?
Right.
And that does what? That teaches them what?
Well, for the accordion world, I'm trying to teach, you know, the authenticity of styles because it's a problem in the accordion world. I'm sure it's a problem in all worlds of music where someone plays, say, a jazz arrangement and they all of a sudden think they play jazz. And it's like, no. Mm. And I see classical groups, they'll play a Piazzolla tango, and they say, oh, we play tango. It's like, no, you don't. You just play the music. You play, you know, it's this aspects of it. Like, you've heard people in Italian festivals, they play, they're not Italian musicians. They play it right, but it's just, it's missing mm-hmm. that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, so what I do is I take a simple song, and if I had more time, of course, I go through every tiny aspect that makes that genre, and then you put that song into the paces of it, and it turns out, oh, look, that kind of sounds like it's authentic. And with it, you can, with simple tunes, play a gig of a genre of music you don't know and make it seem like you do know it, because you're doing the most important thing, which is the specific parts of the style, not necessarily the song.
Interesting. So to demonstrate that,
yes.
You're going to pick what song?
We'll do Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Okay. Can you actually play it so people who don't know it?
In case, yes, yes.
Yes.
So this would be just the most
normal.
Simplest
yeah.
possible way to play Mary Had a Little Lamb. And such a... okay, that tune.
Could you play it slower? No, I'm kidding. I mean, it's just like, wow.
Okay.
All right. So now what are you going to do with it?
Okay, so first we'll do it as a klezmer song. And this actually, the first time I did this song as a klezmer tune, it was like, this is perfect as a klezmer song. You would swear it was a klezmer tune.
Mary must have been Jewish.
Might have been. So I'm going to put it in the key of D, very common key for klezmer music. I'm going to put it, the scale of klezmer music, the Frege scale, over it. And then I'm going to do it in all the other parts that make it really klezmer. The chord changes will be different. So here's what it would sound like had it been written as a klezmer piece. And so on like that. Now, if you played that at a bar mitzvah, no one would know. Is it? They would just think it's some klezmer tune they don't know.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, that was good. That was really good.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
All right. So, all right, what else you got? That's cool.
Well,
you got a couple more?
Since you're Italian, as am I.
As is Mark.
Oh, look at that. We'll do this as an Italian tarantella.
Okay.
And let's see if you can tell that this is a Mary Had a Little Lamb. Oh,
That's
there you go.
Amazing. I have the Italian lyrics in my head already. We need to record that. Stick around. We'll record that. All right. So do you have one more?
Sure. Let's do...
How about French?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. French. If it was French...
Better yet, Parisienne.
Yes. But it's, so it's going to be in three. It's going to be a waltz. I'm going to put it in E minor is good because in that, actually the accordionist I was showing you earlier off air, that style, the 40s accordion French style, very, very strong. And E minor was a big key for them. And they love a lot of notes. Those accordion players played a lot of notes even when you didn't need it. So this is, if it was French, it would sound like this.
Dramatic flair, I might add. Corey, it's always fun seeing you, but having you here on the show, this is twice so far. Ah. I have a feeling we're just getting warmed up.
Just getting warmed up. Back to the cars.
So when you come back, will you have more sounds for us?
Yeah, well, very well, very possible.
More styles, more who knows what.
More who knows what.
But you are a wild and crazy guy. So
thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for doing that. Next time, play a song or something.
No, I know. It's just crazy. I haven't played any songs.
All right. Well, always a pleasure. Corey Pezzatoro, thank you so much. Our guests, of all guests, Nassim Haramein and Jonathan Quinton. How fantastic was that? I'd like to give a special thanks to our producer, executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, for arranging all of this and us getting out into Encinitas. Thank you to our engineer at Studio NoHo, Brent Hahn, for making this sound so good. And to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio, our manager and program manager. And I am like, what is it, retrograde or something? Listen to me. And now in another style, I'm going to do...
Sorry, you could do a whole new segment in the Filippo.
I know, I gotta pay attention to his authenticity styles here.
And now I... on behalf of also our producer, Mark Leisure, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you all, as your life changes, as ours definitely has, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.